You're listening to Channel U.
Hi, everyone. This is Jerry Wills. So, the Celestine Prophecy movie is about to be shown nationwide on a sneak preview. I've seen it. Have I got some news for you about that? Also, a find in central Peru, I think you'll find quite interesting. Perhaps there's a connection between this and the movie. And a new project that we are about to kick off for the coming year. Also, interested in ayahuasca? Anyone?
Welcome to the mystery and magic of Channel U Network. Do you know that things aren't as they seem? Are you conscious of their attempted mind control scheme? Are you seeking others to create a team? Are you thirsty to think from a really clear stream? That's why you are here at Channel U. From the mysteries of outer space to spiritual healing. From the depths of the ocean to the heavenly ceiling. To the dreams that reveal your innermost feeling. Close your eyes. Breathe deep. We are connected to Channel U.
From the deserts of the Great Southwest, you're listening to Jerry Wills, Horizon to Horizon on Channel U. Internet Radio.
Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm back. It's been 2 weeks, and I'm happy to be here. And thank you very much to Don and Nevin and everyone else there at the radio station that's providing this wonderful service, allowing me to talk to you. I'm grateful. I really am. Okay. Well, I saw the Celestine Prophecy movie. And do I have some news for you? Just like I said a few minutes ago, I've seen it. My wife, my lovely wife, Kathy, and I sat here, and as part of our agreement with the distributors of the movie, we had to suffer through sitting and watching the full 1 hour and 36 minutes of video on our projector. It was about, I don't know, a 9-foot screen. Of course, it's always different watching something that large. But, you know, we've watched a lot of movies. Indiana Jones is one of them. And we've watched Top Gun. And we've watched, well, you know, a lot of the movies that you folks out there have watched as well. I've watched all these movies in the past on a small TV, like a, I don't know, 27-inch, 5-inch, and then finally we ended up getting this wonderful projector from a friend of ours at a very good price, I might add, and we played the movie. We agreed we'd watch it all the way through to make sure that there weren't any glitches, because there are people coming here to our place here in Phoenix on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. As it turns out, it's going to be a full house every night. So, I know you're wanting me to tell you, what was it all about? What was it like? Well, take some of the best movies that you have ever watched. The movies that got you sitting on the edge of your seat. The movies that got you all riled up. Things that got you just sitting there holding your breath. That's what this movie is like. When it comes out in the theaters, I predict that it's going to be an absolute success of monumental proportions. There seems to be no expense spared in making this movie. And considering how much was probably made off the sale of the books, I'm not surprised. The book was a huge success for years and years and years. If you haven't read it, then I suggest that you go find it, read it, and then get prepared for a movie that will absolutely knock your socks off, because it is that good. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Celestine Prophecy. The movie basically deals with some scrolls that were found in Peru in a place called the Celestine Temple, and it was apparently during the time of Pope Celestine. These are apparently his writings. Now, I don't know. I'm not a history buff. I don't know if there really was a Pope Celestine or not. Maybe there was. Maybe someone out there knows. But I don't know. Point is, these scrolls were found. There are, apparently, in the movie, the pretense is there are 9 of them. Only 8 were found. They don't know where the 9th one's at, and off we go on an adventure that just absolutely captivates you and takes you on this wild ride through Peru until the end of the movie that just blows your mind. It blew my mind. It blew our mind. We just sat there and shook our heads and went, damn, I'm wishing it wasn't over. That was incredible. And I know there are many of you who may be listening to this that are looking forward in your home, in your hometown, I should say, at having a chance of seeing this movie. Well, if you have a chance to find someone who has room that can take you in so you can watch this movie, even if it's on a regular TV, I suggest that you go and see it. But I guarantee you that when it comes out in the theaters, that's where you want to see this. That is the kind of big screen that you're going to want to sit in front of and watch a movie of this monumental and high excitement proportions. It just was amazing to me. They really did a good job. I compliment them, because it could have turned out to be one of those cheesy grade B movies that we've all seen, like, you know, the Mothra going over Japan or something like that. You know, I can compare it probably to any of the Indiana Jones movies that I've seen. It's not the same kind of movie, however, but, well, I suppose in a way it is, but the adventure, you know, the adventure, the high drama, the suspense, that is something I really like when I'm watching a movie. That's what I go to, the adventure. And of course, as many of you know, Kathy and I go on adventures down to South America, so we like adventure. That's just in our blood. But there's more than just the adventure in this movie. The other part, the other part that I think you will really get an absolute charge out of has to do with what happens to the main character in the movie as he discovers the potential behind each of the insights. I was wondering how they were going to show the energy, for example. I was wondering how they were going to show, you know, those interreactions between folks. And as I was watching the movie, I was just waiting and waiting and hoping that they were going to do something spectacular, because the rest of the movie seemed to be quite spectacular. I was not disappointed. If you've never seen energy and you've always wanted to know what it would be like, this is exactly going to give you what you've been waiting for a long, long time to come. You will have absolute clarity on what I see when I say that I see energy around people, or if you hear someone else say, oh yeah, I can see the aura, you know, look between my fingers here, so on and so forth. You won't be disappointed. Instead, you'll leave the experience educated. And that's the other really interesting part about this movie, is how this movie will educate a person to opening up to a new realm, a new dynamic of existence, something that really is there. I can vouch for it because I can see it. It is amazing to watch and thrilling to be completely immersed into as you're traveling through the backwaters of Peru looking for that 9th insight. Now, what is the ninth insight? Well, I'm not going to tell you exactly. If you haven't read the book, it probably wouldn't make sense anyway. But I can tell you that the ninth insight exists. Just like the other eight insights, they also exist as conceptual, items. Now, what I mean by that is that James Redfield did a phenomenal job in describing exactly what human potential is all about. And these insights are characteristics that we will each, in our own time, in our own personal growth, have to come to experience in order to grow a little bit more. Kathy, my wife, brought up a very interesting point. A lot of times we hear people talking about, well, you know, when you are able to do such and such, you will have achieved another level of existence. But she said, no, it's not another level. That's a metaphor, and it's not a very good one. What she suggests, and I agree with, is that as you achieve different talents or control over your innate abilities, things you were born with, you just kind of lost touch with, perhaps, you're not going to another level. You're expanding outward, and your universe becomes larger and larger, and you become clearer and clearer about who you are and your placement on this planet and within the cosmos. So, the Celestine Prophecy, as a movie, I predict it's going to be a huge, huge success. I think it's something that if you have a chance, you really should go and try to see. So, I look forward to hearing from those of you who have seen it. If you want to see a preview of the Celestine movie, you can go to thecelestinemovie.com and you can download it. Now, I want to tell you about another movie that we saw just actually the night after the Celestine movie, Celestine Prophecy movie. It's called, and many of you have heard of this, it's been all over the internet, it's called The Secret. It is a movie that you can watch online. It costs, round numbers, it's like $5. You pay your fee, and with that fee, you have the opportunity to buy the DVD. Instead of for $20, you can buy it for $15. So, you know, you get something for that dollars besides just sitting in front of your computer watching a movie. The movie's called The Secret. Now, the pretense behind The Secret is that there is a secret that kept from humanity for a very long time, and it's been kept from humanity from the people out there in the workforce in order to keep the people in power empowered. Because if everyone knew the secret, then you wouldn't need the people in power, because their whole thing, their whole existence, let's say, is to maintain the power and keep the secret, because the only way they can have what they have is if you don't know that you can have it too. And the only way that you could know that you could have it is if you know the secret. That's all I'm going to tell you about The Secret as far as the content of it goes. It's about, again, about saying this is a Celestine Prophecy movie. It's about 90 minutes long, give or take a few here or there. And I highly suggest you go and watch that too. It's at thesecret.com. I believe that if you were to watch first one and then the other, you would be existing in a realm that was unlimited. If you fully embraced the concepts in both of these programs, it would prove my point that human potential is unlimited. The only limitation is your imagination. So please, go watch these movies. Grow, expand, and discover your place in the universe. because you do have a place. And believe it or not, even if everyone knew the secret, there's more than enough of everything for everyone on this planet.
Are you interested in forbidden archaeology? If so, after this program, visit Expeditions Magazine, where new light is shed on the forgotten past.
ExpeditionsMagazine.com, spelled with an X, X-P-E-D-I-T-I-O-N-S. And I guess that brings us to the next subject of something I wanted to bring to your awareness. Aside from, of course, knowing the secret or the details of the Celestine Prophecy, Expeditions Magazine was something that Kathy and I started with a group of other individuals who were contributors. We started this about 7 years ago. And for about about a year, let's say, we put all kinds of information up on the website. We had been in Peru for, a year. And while in Peru, we spent a lot of our time, of course, exploring. We had a thing that we did. It's called Letters Home. And we had a, and still do. We don't do Letters Home because we are home. But we did this this thing, Letters Home, which was basically, if you were going to write back home to your friends or family, here are the things that happened today. Only it didn't happen every day. It happened maybe once a week, sometimes twice a week. And it was the kind of thing that was filled with all kinds of humor, because some pretty wacky things happen when you're in a third world country. I could tell you stories. But there was also adventure. There was also mystery. Things that we encountered we couldn't explain. Legends that we were, or myths that we were told about. Things out there in the jungle. Don't go out there at night, because fill in the blank might be out there. We visited extraordinarily remote places, went into caves, climbed deep into the Andes, walked for days just to go to a cave and go inside and see what the heck was in there. So Letters Home had this information. And I guess it got circulated all over the planet. Maybe you didn't hear about it, but gee, I'm sorry, you should have. It would have been nice to have included you as well. It got shared between news groups and friend groups and, you know, on and on and on. At one point, it was kind of funny because we were in a really remote and dangerous part of Peru. We needed a helicopter to get us the rest of the way to this lost city. Using a satellite telephone, I dictated a short message to a friend who related to a friend who put it out to my mailing list that he, here in the States, was handling for us. Because, you see, it's so hard to send email from down there. So we would send it up here, and then he would forward it, you know, put it into the program and send it for us. But in this particular case, it was needing a helicopter, and we called him on a James Bond briefcase-type satellite phone. We had to, well, I'll say borrow a battery from a bulldozer and strip the wires down and go inside this thing and wire it up so it had some power. It was a hell of a thing. Anyway, the deal is this. We had this email sent out that we needed this help, and as a result, it went all over the world. Literally, it really did. It went all over the world. We finally received our own email back. from some European news group. They just kept putting it out and putting it out, and it, like I say, it went all over the world. The story really didn't change. You know, like they say, well, you whisper in someone's ear, and when it goes all the way around the room, it'll be a different story. Well, of course, it's written down, it's not spoken, but the story didn't change. There were a few embellishments here or there. We were in grave danger, I think, one of the emails. We got several emails sent to us from different folks worldwide. How we got on their mailing list, I haven't a clue. But we received several emails, and some of them made it look like we were in absolute dire straits, don't know what the hell we're going to do, and we need a helicopter because we were in such danger. We received emails from people who had helicopters and airplanes and jet planes, and you fill in the blanks. I mean, they had ultralights and hot air balloons and helium balloons and just all kinds of different contraptions, offering to come down at no charge and fly us there. These folks were in Europe and Canada and the United States and Japan and Australia. I don't think we received anything from India except condolences. But imagine being us in this extraordinarily, really, really remote part of the world. We can't get email. It was just a damn lucky chance that we found a battery in the middle of the jungle and a bulldozer had been abandoned there. And the battery worked. And we had enough power to make a phone call to call out and say, here's our situation. Well, we got the email when we got back to Lima. And that's, you know, by then it was too late to ask to come and help us to do anything. What had happened is we basically were rescued by the Peruvian Special Forces. So that was interesting. That's another story all in itself. I walked out of there about, I don't know, 10 miles or so, barefoot, just like the natives, because there's so much mud. Anyway, the point of this is Expeditions Magazine. We left Peru, we came back to the United States, and we started compiling the details that we had come across, and we started running into new details here in the United States, things that maybe are connected, maybe they're not, but they were interesting all the same. And one thing led to another, and we thought, hey, you know what? We should put this online. We have no income right now, so why don't we make a magazine that a person can purchase for a reasonable amount, and every month we'll put new stories up there, and you know, we'll start collecting all this unusual and arcane information from all over the greater Southwest and perhaps even the rest of the United States. So Expeditions Magazine was born, and since then it's been the ugly stepchild of sorts because we haven't put a lot of energy and a lot of attention to it. And mostly because of the work that I do with the healings that I do with folks. It takes a lot of my time. And believe me, if you've never worked with putting up a website, and this one is very complicated, there are thousands of pages, it becomes a real challenge to both keep up with the technology that is evolving with the internet, as well as you know, going and researching stories and coming back and putting in pictures and so on and so forth. So it was really quite a challenge to keep up with that. However, that said, there's going to be a new era with Expeditions Magazine. It's going to evolve. We're going to put more energy into it. What the plan is to go to places and produce some, let's say, short TV shows, like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, perhaps an hour, of places that people never have a chance to see, that are just really removed, if we'd had this technology when we were living in Peru before, gosh, you know, we'd really had something special, but we didn't. Technology's finally caught up to where we could do this. Excuse me. But instead, here's what we're going to do. We're going to produce a TV show, an internet television show, like something you might see on the Discovery Channel, only it's the Discovery Channel gone crazy, because this is Jerry and Kathy Wills going exploring, and they're not afraid to go someplace just because they may not come out alive. We don't believe that that's going to ever be the case for us. The show is called The Third World. And the first episode is going to be a free episode. We're going to put it out on the internet. And by the time the next program comes along, there should be I'll make an announcement where you can go and link in and watch it. We have many more planned, but in order to do this, what we're planning on doing is we're planning to go back down to Peru, because that's where all the really juicy stuff is at. Now, we don't have a timetable exactly on when we're going, but we do believe that it will be within the next couple of months. So we'll keep you posted. I mean, you know, I'm doing a show every 2 weeks, so if you continue to tune in, then you'll continue to be informed, right?
Have you noticed all those face recognition cameras going up on your street corner? Does it drive you crazy? Do you wish you had a way to keep them from seeing your face and recognizing it? Well, here's your solution. It's the anti-face recognition outfit. That's right. It's a very large, curly, black wig with mustache and beard and big sunglasses. That's right. It's the anti-face recognition outfit. AFRO. Afro. Get yours today.
You're listening to Channel U.
I just want to tell you a little bit more before we go on to the next subject about the Third World. The Third World, the concept, is not just about Expeditions Magazine, but that's where the Third World is going to be linked from, and also from the Channel U website. That's channel, channel-u.com. And these are two places you'll be able to go to take a look at the Third World as a made-for-internet television program. It'll also be available as a downloadable podcast, so you can watch it on your video iPod. That should be fun. We're going to charge $3, which I believe is quite reasonable. $3 per episode. We'll be broadcasting, not broadcasting, but we'll be recording these live on location wherever we are, whether it's Peru or Guatemala or, you know, fill in the blanks. It's a big, big world. And I have a feeling that the things that we're going to show you are things that you have wondered about for quite a long time. And when you watch the Discovery Channel or National Geographic or any of these shows that will provide that kind of entertainment, you're going to find something different than what you probably expected, because this is geared towards people who are thinking outside the box, folks who are wanting to have some information that isn't available on Discovery Channel or otherwise, you know, the other channels that are out there in your cable system. Instead, this is going to be, well, you'll see if you when you tune in. This is going to be us talking to the people in the area, asking them about legends. How does this work? How does that work? What is this temple for? And being there and trying to get the temples or the artifacts or whatever it is we're running into to expose themselves in a way that you can understand it. Now, a very good example of this, and it will likely be a show that takes place later in the year, perhaps the end of fall or the beginning of winter or something like that. There's a place called Markawasi. And at Markawasi, there's a three-story tall human head made of stone. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, yeah, well, if that's true, why haven't I heard about it? Well, I don't know. Why hasn't the world heard about it? I can tell you this. Soon the world will hear about it, because there have been a team up there doing a made-for-TV special, and I expect that by midsummer it's going to be something that you'll be able to watch. You'll see this. Now, the thing about this head that very few people, including this team that was up there, what they don't know is that when the sun hits this head in just the right way, at the right moment in time, either the beginning of spring or the beginning of fall, what you're going to see is that the shadow cast by this head is a chimpanzee, a perfect profile of a chimpanzee. And if you, that's looking at the head and then looking down at the ground. If you were to turn 90 degrees to your right, there is a profile on this cliff face that also is completely in shadow. The sky behind it, of course, completely illuminated. The profile is a chimpanzee profile above a human face. Just the opposite of what you're seeing here with the big human stone head, three stories tall, and the shadow that's being cast. That's just one of the really, really strange things about Markawasi. Markawasi is at 13,000 feet. It's a difficult place to get to. It takes hours and hours, well, like a whole day, of just walking, hiking, riding horses, taking buses, and so forth, to get to this really remote place way up in the Andes. It's a plateau. Not a lot of folks go there. There's nothing there. No vegetation. Not really to speak of. I mean, there's a little here and there, as you might expect. It's a desert. But there's really no drinking water. There's no food. Nothing. And yet, on this plateau, you find such amazing edifices as, well, you've heard of the face on Mars, right? It's there. Same face. It's a huge stone sarcophagus that's about 40, 50, 60 foot long. I really don't know. It's quite large. I didn't measure it. It's huge. I mean, you can't really even climb up on top of this thing. It's that big, great big stone thing, sarcophagus, with this face where the head would be, staring straight up into the sky. And when you get up above it, on some surrounding hills, or when you stand beside it looking at it, you see the same face as in Richard Hoagland's book, The Face on Mars. It's really quite extraordinary to see firsthand. So, basically, what we're trying to do with the Third World is to bring information in a visual format to every one of you out there who would like to be there but can't. So be watching for information about this, and you may even find it here on this radio station, where you can download the podcasts and take part in the great adventure with us. Now also, bear in mind that we take people periodically with us on these adventures. We have a company. It's called Expeditions. And what we do is we go to places sometimes tame, sometimes not so tame. But, for example, everyone's heard of Machu Picchu. Everyone's heard of the Nazca lines and that sort of thing. But there are other items down in Peru, lots and lots of them. There are places that we go, and we put together tours and trips, and we take people with us. And we go down there and spend about 2 weeks with our group, and we take them on a wild ride full of information and experience through all different parts of Peru, from the Amazon jungle to the Andes Mountains and everywhere in between. We have trips planned this year as well. So you'll be hearing about these things. I'm sure I'll be broadcasting from location down there doing this show, as well as the made for internet shows, TV shows. Call them TV, but it really isn't. I don't know what you should call them. If anyone has an idea, email me here at our award-winning studios. Just kidding, we haven't won any awards yet. But you can email me at the initial J at jerrywills.com, JerryWills.com. And perhaps you'll have a good idea, something that we can call this instead of a made-for-internet TV show. Or perhaps there's something that you would like to see that you've heard about, that you're wondering about, that would make for very good internet or podcast programming. If that's the case, hey, we're up for the adventure. We'll go there. We'll see what there is to see, and we'll videotape it and provide it. If your idea is chosen, we will give you for sure free access to that program and a free DVD of the program, because DVDs will be available. And then perhaps we'll come up with something else too. I'm sure we can come up with something. So if you have ideas, please send them in. It's j@jerrywills.com.
Are you seeking a secure method of emailing your friends and family without worrying as to whether your private mail is being searched by unauthorized software? Do you find programs like Carnivore and Echelon to be intrusive on your rights to communicate your private thoughts and ideas to whomever you want to read them? Ed4 is the answer to your desires. It can be used on any Shockwave-enabled browser, and it's free. www.umedia.com/E4.html.
Ayahuasca, anyone? How many of you know what ayahuasca is? Oh, I see a few hands raised out there. For those of you who don't know, ayahuasca is something that is used by shaman in South America. It has properties that enable a person to have visions. Since we were just talking about doing trips down to Peru, I thought I would let you know that we're also doing a specialized trip this year. It's a 7-day trip. The price is about, round numbers, $1,795, I believe. Not quite the price of a good used car. For that price, you will have 7 days in Peru in a jungle lodge with a bona fide, honest-to-God shaman who will do the ceremonies with you and the others who attend, and will basically provide you a chance to explore the realms of higher consciousness. Or, let's get away from higher, shall we? How about expanded awareness? The ayahuasca, shaman to shaman, is different. It's been used for thousands of years. Every time you read a book about it or you look into it, the time frame is different. It may be 3,000 years, it might be 5,000 years, some people say 10,000, 12,000 years, who knows? I don't think anyone really has a clear idea of how long it's been used. And try to imagine how they must have come up with the concept for this in the first place. Here you have the Amazon jungle, one of the most prolific places on the planet, where there are plants of every species that, well, more plants of every species than the human mind could even comprehend. And if you go 100 miles in any direction, the plant, the same plant, same looking plant, may be there too, but it has different properties because of the soil. Somehow, way back in time, it was discovered that one particular plant, when added to another particular plant and boiled together, would produce a drink that would cause you to move into an expanded realm of awareness. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, we're not talking ninth insight here, by the way. We're talking about expanded realms of awareness using plant-based substances. Ayahuasca has a substance in it called dimethyltryptamine, which is the acronym DMT, one of the world's most powerful hallucinogenics. Now, before you get all excited about that, I want to tell you that you've already done DMT in your lifetime. You've already, as a matter of fact, right now, you're listening to me, and your brain has DMT, dimethyltryptamine, circulating through it. You wouldn't have sight, awareness, hearing, or be able to understand what I'm saying if there wasn't already dimethyltryptamine in your system. It's a naturally occurring thing in the human body. What is really extraordinary is that the body only produces a small amount. And I think the reason for this is because if we had more than that, then we would certainly be overwhelmed with the level of information that we would be provided from our extrasensory inputs. I theorize that some folks who are more profoundly psychic have more of this circulating through their brain. And I also theorize, don't have any proof for it, just a theory, that people who have spontaneous events where they have precognitive events, I knew I shouldn't do that, or they just suddenly know something, which I guess is synonymous with precognitive events, that perhaps in that moment there was more DMT being channeled into the receptors of their brain that was allowing them to suddenly tune in. It's really hard to figure sometimes how all these things work. But the point is, if you were to put in more DMT than what is normally there, and it successfully got into your system, what would happen? Well, what happens for the shaman is that they use this technique to speak to the spirit world, because they don't have doctors there, and they don't have a flow of information there like we have in our part of the world. This is how they primarily gather information that is from an unseen realm. Some of the shaman that I know, and I've known them for quite a while, have told me that if someone is sick, they'll use the ayahuasca, they'll go and talk to the plants. They'll go communicate with the plants, is what he's really trying to say. You see, the way ayahuasca works in the body, because it isn't pure dimethyltryptamine, that's just one small molecule that's in the entire cosmology of this beverage that the shaman make. It's in there, but that's not all that it is. There are a lot of other things, a lot of other plant-based components that are in this as well. And apparently, from the research that I've read, a good book to read, incidentally, if you're curious about this, is Jeremy Narby has written a book called The Cosmic Serpent. Graham Hancock just came out with a book called Supernatural. Go pick up one of these books and read it. What I've gleaned from my experiences with ayahuasca, because I have done it several times, so's Kathy, so's our son, and what I've gleaned is that the ayahuasca moves into your system and it turns on whatever is needed in order for you to become profoundly psychic. Now, what that means for me in a scientific term is that our DNA is typically turned on, let's say, about 5%. As you might not know, DNA both receives light as communication, and it is also bioluminescent. But it isn't a steady glow. That glow moves with thought and intention. I've seen that just because I can see energy, and this is the energy that we're talking about here. This bioluminescence of the body, this upper band of wavelengths that most people can't see. Somehow I can see it. Well, with the ayahuasca, it turns on the ability for the DNA to give off much more light, but it also, simultaneously, gives it the ability to receive more light as well. It causes it to become more receptive. I believe that in a much greater, broader sense of the word, in our universe, light is how everything communicates. The way you and I are listening right now, it is a function of light being brought down into material form through me. I'm talking, it's going back into light again, which the electricity. It's being broadcast across the huge neural net called the internet, the neural net of the planet, like the cerebral cortex of our brain. Distributed outward, you're sitting here, electricity, a form of light, is causing matter to move, and you're listening to my voice. It's going from matter to light to matter. With ayahuasca and with the rest of the universe, it goes from light to matter to light. Just the opposite. That's the inception of thought and inspiration and second sight. However, second sight might be considered by you. Now, you may ask, well, where does God fit in with all this? God is at the very heart of the experience. Always has been, always will be, at least in my mind. Everyone has their own version of what God is, first of all, so I'm not going to try to tell you what my version of God is. But I will tell you this. In my experience, I've seen that bright light that I associate with being the presence of the Creator, the presence of God. And I believe that we are all a part of that bright light. So, ayahuasca, anyone? It is an experience that definitely will change your life. I mean, think about it. Going down to the Amazon jungle, staying in a really nice jungle lodge, it has hot and cold running water, good meals, nice beds. It's not like sleeping in a teepee or a tent. This is a really high-class place in the Amazon jungle. Going down and spending a week just going there would change your perspective on life. Having the opportunity to sit with a shaman and experience this kind of interreaction between you and the rest of the cosmos, that has to change your perspective on who you are, where you've been, but most importantly, where you're going. You know, I'm sure you folks are wondering what this is all about with these kind of commercials on here. Actually, I have any real commercials. Maybe we will have some time. The thing is that these commercials are made by a good friend of mine. His name is Media Mike at MediaMike.com. And he has really some funny concepts when it comes to making a commercial. And I asked him if he would put something together for me. So he sent me over a bucket of these things. And, you know, on one hand, he's got a very good point. If you listen to the if you listen to the commercial, he makes a very good point. Some of it is just really hysterical, and you know, like the Afro that you just heard, AFRO, anti face recognition outfit, AFRO. It's a big black curly wig. He's got several others in here, and I'll probably pop those in the future too. I consider them little gems, little gems of protest. I come from an era when John Lennon was chanting "Give Peace a Chance," and there were people marching against the war in Vietnam and so forth. So, you know, I've always been somewhat of an anti-establishment person. A lot of folks, I've wondered, you know, what happened to the hippies? I don't know. I've seen a few of them here and there, but I think they basically just sort of faded back and said, you know what? We can't change it. We don't want to be messed with by it. So we're just going to remain ambiguous shadow people. And strangely enough, because Kathy and I spend time in South America, and we travel around the country, and we do things differently than most folks. I mean, having a home in one place is great for some people, but it isn't something that we have ever really comfortably had for very long, because we're always interested in going and doing and seeing and experiencing more and more and more and more. We have plans. We have ideas. We went to buy a house. I know, that sounds contradictory to what I just said. When we got back from Peru, we'd been down there for about 6 months last time, and we decided we were going to buy a house. We need a base, someplace we can come home to. Well, we tried and tried, and because we haven't been in one place long enough, they were looking at us with a great deal of scrutiny, but we had enough money to do the down payment, and they were pushing the paperwork through. And then the guy said the strangest thing to me, actually to Kathy and I both. He says, well, it's really hard to get you guys a loan. And we said, well, why is that? He says, well, because you move around so much. We said, well, because of our work, because of our interests, because of what we do. He says, well, I know. I understand that completely. But it's like you folks are shadow people. And we just looked at each other and kind of giggled. Isn't that funny? Shadow people. Here we are, out looking for lost cities, trying to understand ancient methods of shamanism in the jungle, trying to perfect our videotaping and editing skills, doing this radio program, and, you know, all the things that we think are fun. And in other aspects of our life, I'm working on people, seeing miracles every few days, things that shouldn't be happening in a person's life that suddenly go away and now they're just fine. And we're researching all this stuff, and we're doing all this stuff, and we can't buy a house because we are shadow people. Imagine that. I guess that's the price we pay. Maybe the concept that I had years ago of buying an Airstream and pulling it behind a Jeep was not such a bad idea at all. It would have probably worked just fine, except, oops, the price of gas just went through the roof. The price of gas. It certainly is an equalizer for those who would like to have more money to spend on themselves. Someone just recently sent me some photos of some sheik's mansion. Maybe you've seen this. It's circulating on the web. But this guy, it's a guy. He puts on his pants the same way as you or I, except his probably cost a hell of a lot more than ours do. I'm sure he's not wearing blue jeans. This guy has a silver Audi. I think it was an Audi. Or a Subaru or something. No, it must have been an Audi. It's a sports car. It doesn't have metal like cars have, you know, metal. It's made out of silver. And this guy's mansion looks like nothing I've ever seen. Hundreds and hundreds of rooms, three stories, all decked out. Expensive wood, gold faucets. I mean, it's ugly. There's that much money in the world, folks. Meanwhile, some of you, have to decide between heating your home or having a good meal. Believe me, I've been there. I really have. I'm not prosperous. I'm not rich. We fund ourselves and we do the best we can to do that. And just like you. You're out there working every day too, and here you are taking some time listening to me sit here and talk to you. We are used to doing the work that we need to do in order to get ahead and to survive and to have a better life for ourselves and for our children. So here we are. At the end of the show, and I think it's been a good one. Be looking in the coming weeks for information about our new program called The Third World. It's called The Third World because something happened. As many of you probably already know, something happened, I don't know, 15,000 years ago or so. Changed the entire face of this planet. And then humankind started again. We're looking for evidence of those folks, of what they left behind. So be looking for The Third World coming to a computer near you. You can check jerrywills.com, channelu.com for sure, and perhaps here on this radio network for information. Alright, folks, well, that just about sums it up for me. Thank you so much for listening. I really enjoyed my time here with you today. I hope I didn't ramble on too much. I will have guests in the future. Things will change a little. It'll only get better. It's only getting better, folks. Until 2 weeks from tonight, thank you. God bless you all. Stay safe. I'm Jerry Wills. Bye for now.
Been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.